Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. Here's Pastor Ryan.
I'm just overwhelmed at God's goodness, you know. It's not only the day of his resurrection that we're commemorating, but we're also rejoicing that our church is 15 years old. We actually started in a home Bible study in Beaumont. When my wife and I moved out here, I was an assistant pastor down at Calvary Chapel, Romoland, so we'd drive to church down there. And then with my pastor's blessing, we started a home Bible study, and her and I knocked on doors and got one person to come, and we did that for 4 to 5 years, and eventually we started Sundays, and that was in 2009, and I'm just overwhelmed at what God has done. Truly I am. I'm just a kid from Almania, an ex-gang member, you know, continuation school. You know, real success. Broken home. And Jesus found me and saved me. And he is so good, isn't he? You know, the thing about his resurrection is that it proves that everything he said and everything he promised is true. He did come to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. In God's estimation, what this world needs most is redemption from their sins. Because of the fall in the garden, sin, the disease of sin, the disease of the self-life from Satan has passed on to each and every person born after them. And this is why, except for Jesus, of course, but this is why, you know, people in this world, we live for ourselves until we come to Christ. And Jesus said, you must be born again in order to be able to now live for God. No longer is the great concern of our lives what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, what our career is, what our, you know, lot in life is. Now we just want to please the one who saved us. And we understand that this world needs a spiritual birth through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. And the fact that he rose from the dead means that it's all true. And look at our lives, that we're so different now. I was talking to Daniel this morning over at the park, and we're both just a couple of ex-bad boys that, you know, God's in the business of saving bad people. And apparently all of us are bad. There's not one that has done good. No, not one. And so, but it's the fact that we are different now is proof that Jesus is the Son of God and that he did save us from our sins. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, for 2 weeks the experts were saying that rain was going to be all over this morning, and we had scheduled the sunrise service at Ripley Park by faith. And everyone was praying last night. I know you were. And this morning I just looked at my phone, and just cloudy, no rain. Yes. It opened up, and it was so beautiful. At 7 p.m., we were there. The sun came up from the east, just glorious with the trees and the grass. And woo, God's creation truly speaks of his glory and his greatness. So we had a wonderful time. We're going to do that every year if the Lord should tarry. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and give me an amen once you are done. And so, Father, this morning again, we come before you, the one true living God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. You're not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And the saints are alive with you. And one day, because of what you did for us, we're going to see them in your glory. And best of all, we're going to see you as you are. We're so grateful for the eternal life that you've given us through your son, Jesus. Lord, this morning, we just want to thank you and thank you for saving us. Thank you for what you did. And Lord, we ask that as we read your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we need your help to understand. And you are the giver of understanding. And so, Lord, please give us humble hearts, for you say that you give grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. I pray if there's anybody here who's proud, our hearts, if we're in that condition, that even now, Holy Spirit, you would just break that down. Bind the enemy and help us to receive your word. May it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. And so all of Jerusalem in our story is in shock. And that's not an overstatement. They have come from all over, the Jewish pilgrims, to celebrate the Passover. There are hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem that have come to celebrate the Passover. And the Galileans who came up with Jesus, who were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they did a tremendous job of just letting as many people know that the Blessed One of God is here, that his name is Jesus of Nazareth. They spoke about his deeds. His popularity was all over the place because of the great deeds that he had done, the miracles. He had raised Lazarus from the dead, the lame walked, the blind see. He preached powerfully and with authority. He spoke the things of God. And so there was great excitement, and we're told that all of Jerusalem was moved. And even the religious leaders who rejected him and wanted to destroy him knew that they had better kill him, because the whole world is going after him. And they had hoped that he would be the one to bring Israel back into power, the kingdom of Israel, that he would reestablish it. They were hoping that he would be the one to do that. But he has been condemned. He's been crucified. And it's not just that they condemned him and killed him, but it's the way that he died that makes the outlook even more hopeless. Jesus died a brutal death, probably more than we'll ever understand. Zechariah tells us that the scars will remain forever. So when we see our Lord one day in heaven, for those of us who believe in Jesus, that means we put our trust in him. When we see him in heaven, the scars will be there for what he did for our sins, so that it would forever speak of the love of the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. We think of the hands and the pierced feet, and we think that's what we'll see. But I believe, as studying the scriptures, that his face is also going to have bear the scars of what he went through for our sins. Isaiah 52 says that his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, the word marred in Hebrew is mishaf, which means disfigurement. It says that Jesus was more disfigured than any man. That's brutal. And so we read in the accounts of the gospel of his resurrection, they had a difficult time recognizing him. And I believe that in his glorified body, those scars will remain. And we've all seen people with scars or terrible accidents where they're disfigured. And so I wouldn't be surprised that when we see the Lord, those scars will be so on his face that it was hard for his disciples who were with him for 3 years to even recognize him. But I believe that the brutality of the way Jesus was killed really contributed to the hopelessness the disciples were feeling at this point. They were hopeless. They were sad. They were in fear of their lives, that the religious Jews would do to them as they had done to their leader. And so It seems incredibly hopeless at this time. But the beautiful thing about our faith is that we are taught that love never fails. And God was moving in so many hearts. He moved in the heart of Joseph of Arimathea, who was a council member, who did not agree with the council to condemn Jesus. We're told that Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple of the Lord, but he didn't come out because it would ruin his career. It would ruin his life. He would be ousted and kicked out. Nicodemus was a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night. He too had a change of heart. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. The love of Christ was stirred up by the Spirit in those men's hearts. And we know that Joseph took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of our Lord. Pilate gave it to him, and him and Nicodemus, they took linen strips and took the body of our Lord, and they had 100 pounds worth of spices, alloys, and myrrh in order to embalm his body properly. That's 100 pounds, brothers, sisters, that's heavy. But they went through these lengths because there was a love for Christ in their heart that had been born. And it is this holiday more than any other that is like a New Year's Eve for the Christian church, I believe. For me, it is anyways, where, you know what, I want to get more serious about God. I want to stop, you know, playing games with him. He knows what love is. And we read about these folks, and that's what love looks like. It's one thing for us to say we love God, but it's another thing to show him that we love him by our obedience and by our compassion towards him. And so they embalmed the Lord, as you know, and we're told that the tomb that Joseph had for him, no one had ever been laid in it before, but it was hewn out of rock. It was like a cave, and there was a heavy stone as a door, and that's where they placed the Lord. And we know that the women who ministered to Jesus from Galilee and so forth observed where they had placed the body, and they too began to gather supplies in order to care for the Lord's body. The love of Christ was compelling them to care for his body. Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I want to bring your attention to the fact that the women went to the tomb early. We know it's Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Joanna, and others, that they went very early to the tomb. The other gospels tell us that it was before light. So it was dark. Before sunrise, they went to the tomb and they brought these spices to care for the Lord's body. I have learned in these 25 years how important it is for me to start my day with first dedicating my heart on a daily, early basis to the Lord. That I would declare to the Lord first thing in the morning that this new day he has given it to me and to you. I don't want to go about my day without first coming to the Lord with my offerings of praise, with my offerings of thanksgiving that he didn't take me home while I was sleeping. Why early? Why in the scriptures does it say early? Early I will seek him while he may be found, it says in Psalm 63. In Isaiah 26, verse 9, it says, with my soul I have desired you in the night.
Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. In Psalm 5, verse 2, it says, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning, I will direct it to you and I will look up. There's nothing that shows God more humility than to seek him early and first. We let him know our jobs aren't first. Lord, you are. Our children that you blessed us with are not first, you are. My spouse that you blessed me with is not first, you are. If I'm single, the life that you've given me as a single man or woman, I'm not the most important thing, you are. 25 years I've walked with the Lord, and all the times I wasn't seeking the Lord early, putting him first, my days were not good, they were terrible. There were days filled with conflict, flesh versus the spirit, and the flesh was running over the spirit because why? Because I didn't early show my dedication to the Lord. I only imagine what it would be like, and I know many of you seek the Lord early, but imagine if everyone to the T sought the Lord before anything. And so around the same time frame of every day, everyone from Sweet Hills was in their word and in prayer and lifting up their eyes to the hills from where our help comes from, declaring our love and gratitude to the Lord. How different would things be in our lives and in our church and in our workplace? Everything would be different. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. You can tell that whether a man or a woman is really seeking the Lord early and daily by the way they live. When we seek him, we declare to him, you are more important than I am, and I am not alive to do my will, but to do your will. What is your will? And so generally, when you see Christians all about the will of God, according to the Lord's word, man, you know they spend time with the Lord. But when, you know, other things are more important and other things are more important and things don't go well for them, and it's because they're not putting God first like they should. And there's nothing that we can do to show gratitude, nothing more than to do that, for he died and rose for our justification. Amen? So seek him early. And early the women went. And I think about today's Proverbs, Proverbs 31. If you don't read the Proverbs every day, you should. It's a blessing in my life. It's for 25 years. And even today, on the 31st, which it reminds me of my beautiful wife, that she's a diligent bride. It says in Proverbs 31 that she wakes up early to provide for her household. And I think as the church, we're the bride of Christ. Shouldn't we wake up early to provide for his house, for his throne? And say, we want to be like the elders. We're ready to cast crowns at your feet. And thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. And so they went early. They came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And it was a heavy stone. They were wondering, who will roll the stone away from us? We're told in the other gospel that there was a great earthquake that shook up Jerusalem again. There was a great earthquake at the cross. Remember, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Jerusalem is all shook up, literally and spiritually. But it was when the two angels landed to declare that he was risen, the stone was rolled away, that earthquake. So there's a lot of amazing things happening here. And so they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee? What an interesting comment. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? What a question to ask the women. Jesus is life. He is the light of life. it doesn't get more alive than him. And so it's the angels like, why would you seek him who is risen, who is alive here amongst the dead, amongst these tombs? The Lord spoke to my heart. How many of us, brothers and sisters who love Jesus, are stuck spending way too much time amongst the tombs of this world? The things that are dead, the things that don't give us life, but instead they rob us of life. If there's anything that is dead and is dying, it's the world and the ways of the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is all fading away. It's dying. This is why we preach the gospel, to save them. But God forbid, so many Christians are too involved in the things of this life and in this world. Dead things. Some people, you know, it looks nasty and like the things of our past life. From in my life, it was the party life, the violence, the drugs, the gay, all that stuff. I mean, God forbid that kind of clear, that's a sin, don't do that. God forbid anybody's going back to that vomit. But, you know, I'm more concerned about the complacency. I'm more concerned about those who think they're right with the Lord and have kind of, you know, they're the ones with the excuses that say, you know, it's good for all of you guys to go to church regularly and to read his word and to pray. But, you know, God and I, we have a good relationship and we have an understanding. And in my understanding, I can come every now and then. That's death. It's killing us. Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. You're either gathering with me or you are scattering. We're either walking forward or we're backsliding. We need to abide in Christ. There is no special exemptions. You're watching on TV. I know what you're thinking. There's so many Christians, man, they'll spend their money, their time, their energy on their hobbies, on the things they want to do, on their lives, on their careers, on their children, their grandchildren, and kind of God's just like an afterthought. It's like if it's American to be a Christian, it's part of the American dream. Listen, Jesus said, if we desire to follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him every day, not just on Easter. And if you're here, we're blessed you're here. Be encouraged, but be convicted. Be convinced in your heart. What am I doing? Like, this stuff is easy for any of us. He didn't call us because these things are easy for us. He strengthens us to read and to understand. He strengthens us to see and to perceive. He strengthens us to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. He strengthens us to do the things that he wants us to do. He never intended it to be in our own power. The reason why I come regularly to church isn't just because I'm the pastor. Because I want to honor him. That's why I come. And is it hard? Yeah. Would I rather be eating Cheetos someday on the couches? Yeah. But, you know, it's like the love of Christ compels me. And it's the Spirit of God that moves me. I'm sweating. When we were at the school up the street, I used to pace back and forth. And this has me stationary. Maybe we'll, you know, so I can really start preaching. Just doing all that. You know, and then throw it to that girl. She's my wife, okay? So, yeah.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.